Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Happy Father's Day again. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there in the audience and all across our great country, all around the world. We know the audience is a global audience, although we find the globalist agenda to be repugnant, we still wish all the free people all around the world Godspeed. We see that the UK Prime Minister is going to resign. President Trump announced that the UK Prime Minister is going to resign, rightfully so. I think the royal family should just resign. But hey, you know, we'll save that for another day. I don't give a damn about the Prime Minister. I think the royal family should resign. They should resign. We should resign from NATO. We should start to focus on our own country. And that would also mean this military conflict we got going on in the Middle East. It's real easy. I mean, these things are rather simple. Much more simple than we make them. Let's just say it like this. Much more simple than we're making it. Reality testing. It blows my mind that anybody would even argue that America doesn't provide the majority of the money for NATO. That, I mean, it makes perfect sense to me why these people shilled for Ukraine. And I've said it on the show many times. I find it just hilariously ironic. Their entire philosophy, political philosophy, is about how bad white people are, you know, the scourge of neocolonialism, a Eurocentric worldview, white man bad, as Ilhan Omar once said. And then they jump through intergalactic hoops to defend the territorial integrity of modern day Europe. I mean, you gotta be stupid to argue with people who are that stupid. And I don't really want to argue with these people. I do a talk show, right? I'm a talk show host. I'm a commentator, so I have to comment. And I'll continue to comment the same way until the bell rings, till the final bell rings, till the fat lady sings. But in all seriousness, the president of the United States, you just got to keep the government. I mean, you know, get your ducks in a row, figure out who's really loyal and who's not, and keep the government, man. Just don't mess around with these people are as dishonest as they are dumb, and that's a deadly combination. They are as dishonest as they are dumb, and that is a deadly combination. Dishonest and dumb. Deadly. Deadly for a country. Deadly for a man, let alone a community, let alone a nation. These people are radically dishonest. They just gaslit us. How long are we going to put up with this? How long are the Alex Joneses of the world going to have to live in the rewritten gaslit history of these stupid gay communists? How long? See, because we haven't restored the border. We haven't restored the republic. We haven't restored our sacred honor until the record is clear. We all know that to the victor goes the spoils, and one of those spoils is you get to write the history. It's incumbent upon us. We are duty-bound to win, number one, to fight to win so we can correct the record. But even the record will tell you that we provide the majority of the money for NATO. I mean, even the record still says America provides around 62% of the money for NATO, not to mention when the costs get dumped all in, when the costs are all in, when you have to defend, your global empire 24/7, 365 days a year, and your number one threat or number one access of threats is on the continental Asia, okay? We pay a lot more than that in real costs. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host, Royce White, the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's 2 a.m. thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine clause is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at thealexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShow Live. We'll be right back.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching the Alex Jones Network here, Sunday Night Live, Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day. And we're just doing a little reality testing tonight. Dr. Fauci, scumbag. Scumbag extraordinaire, world-class scumbag, literally world-class supervillain. Just like we said, we all said it. Break out your Alex Jones was right t-shirts. If you're on X right now, you're watching on X, wherever you're watching, go over to X, okay? Go on over to X and post Alex Jones was right. Hashtag Dr. Fauci. The mainstream media won't print that. They may even print what Tulsi Gabbard said, but they'll never go back and correct the record. As I was just saying, all of the many patriots who we let fall through the cracks in the Chernow House of History when we don't correct the record. Humans really cease to be humans when we lose our historicity. And we run the risk of losing that historicity. History, so important. It's what makes human beings. You know, dogs don't. They have a genetic memory. That's different. Genetic memory is different than written history. One of the things that makes human beings unique as a species is we have history. We have the ability to write stories down and transfer knowledge and information across time, forward into time, across generations. And when you let that history be manipulated and exploited and mistold and misinterpreted and misrepresented, all of a sudden you look up one day and up, it's normal during the month of June to celebrate a little boy turning into a little girl because he, you know, likes to play with dolls instead of trucks, or I don't even know what their justification is these days. Because they have mental illness, we've created an entire month in America to celebrate, take pride in deeply rooted mental illness. And a lot of you won't say it, but slowly and surely I can see us concede. Our American culture slowly concede to this LGBTQ mania because we're afraid that another Westman will go into a Catholic church in the morning and shoot little kids while they pray in the pews. I can see, I can sense it. The genetic survival instinct and masculinity in my balls can sense how cowardly some of you are. You won't say it. You won't say these people are crazy. They're absolutely out of their minds. And you know what? A person like Isaiah has such an effeminate disposition. You know, Royce, it's so interesting. You never once addressed the economy. Shut up. People like that couldn't even talk. Where I come from, we didn't even let them talk. They didn't even get to speak. I'm just telling you the way it really is. And he knows that. He knows that. He was a nerd in school. He was a nerd, not the good kind of nerd, you know. He was the nerd that thought he knew more than he really did, overeducated, underintelligent, teacher's pet type of kid that'll bring an apple, you know, and tell on you, you know, that kind of kid, right? None of the girls liked him. And it's a, you know, and that's not a measurement of everything, but you know, we got to pick. You got to pick Israel Firsters. You want King David or not? You know, King David had flaws. He had great flaws. He had tremendous flaws. King David did. Man after the Lord's own heart. You could take it to the bank. And that's an important, important thing to note in our history, in our faith practice, that men with great flaws still can be men after the Lord's own heart. And despite his many flaws, he wasn't a coward. He wasn't a coward. Despite his many flaws, he wasn't a coward. And, you know, we've reached that crossroads where we have to decide what's more convenient for us, to take the coward's way out and clump together with a bunch of these stupid gay communists, clump together with the stupid gay communists, or take a stand. It's really that simple. Now, your John Thunes of the world, they stand there with the square jaw, hang their hat on their former athletic career that has always placed a premium on excellence, the unequal distribution of talent. And they say, we have to have a moderate message. We have to tone things down because we have to get the independents. You know what? If you independents want to side with these stupid gay communists, we're going to have to take the country by force. That's what it is. That's where we're at. If you independents are so cowardly that you're going to side, you're going to throw in with these stupid gay communists, you're forcing us to take the government by force. Because we cannot give our government to people who are unmoored from reality. If you give a little kid hormone blockers, you tell them, you know, you coerce him into thinking that he can change his gender, or in the worst case scenario, you give a surgery to affirm his gender transition, you shouldn't be anywhere near a child, let alone a government. But I'm crazy, right? I'm the crazy one. Fine. I wear it as a badge of honor, the podcast. Please call me crazy and go to YouTube right now. Please call me crazy. The title is not tongue in cheek. I'm saying, when you get to a time where people have accepted crazy, the one that sick people call crazy is usually the one who's telling the truth. Like, you can't change your gender, period. They could give the LGBTQ 5 months, 10 months. They could give them the entire year. We could take 2027 in the wake of President Trump and this bigoted fascism. We could take all of 2027 when they take the House back and pass a House and the Senate. They take back. They could pass a law, a bill. They could pass a resolution that says all of in lieu of President Trump's bigoted fascism, all of 2027 is now the LGBTQ year of the homosexual. You know how the Chinese have their calendar? You got the year of the hog, and year of the monkey, year of the dragon, year of the rat. Right? 2027 is year of the stupid gay communists. Okay. Fine. You could do that. Still doesn't make it any more real. See, and this is the heresy of democracy. We believe that if you can, you know, get a political coalition together and you can control the narrative, and then you can pass legislation, and then all of a sudden you can change reality. Heresy. There's only one true living God. There's only one universal truth. There's only one reality. And in that one reality, you could cut your balls off as many times as you could possibly, you know, as you can possibly manage. But you're still not a woman. You're not a woman. You're a eunuch. You're a man who cut his balls off. You could put on a wig. You can get fake breasts. You can get a BBL. You can put polish on your fingers and on your toes. You can wear lipstick and mascara or blush. You know, you could put eyelashes on, whatever. Eyeliner, eyeshadow, the whole nine yards. You could wear neon latex and fishnets. You could do whatever you want to do. You're still a man. You're still a male. Not a man, you're a male. You're still a male. And the only thing that I can think of, and I've said this a couple of times now, the only thing I can think of is that on the Republican side, on the conservative side, we do have some type of subtle underlying homosexual fetish and eroticism. And that's why we want to continue to go back and forth with these people. It's like, you know, the girl in school that you like and you argue with her because you actually like her. I kind of get that sense with this because, you know, and I tell Alex this all the time. He's had a number of legendary rants in his career, his illustrious career of telling the truth. He's had a number of legendary rants. But the best rant by far, in my opinion, my all-time favorite is no other species on the planet. No other species on the planet would let a 250-pound man dressed like a space demon get up close to one of its kids. The giraffes, the hippopotamuses, no other species on the planet would let a man dressed like a 250-pound space demon get up close to one of its kids. If you'll deal with that, you'll take anything. Ah! I'm sick of it. All-time best. Why? Because it just goes right to the heart of the problem. It's not the stupid gay communists. It's us. It's all the rest of us who can't muster up the courage to fight the momentum, the pressure of the mob think, the zeitgeist. We get to this point. We're angry. We got passion. We go, something isn't right. And then right around the time you see there's too many likes or views or there's too much support or there's an anti-ICE protest. It's got too many people. You say, I'm stupid. I'm the type of stupid individual. I'll go right out there with 1,000 people and say, stupid gay communists, all of you. Who wants some? Let's do it. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. I've done it. I walked up to a Palestinian protest outside the Republican Party Lincoln and Reagan dinner at the St. Paul Convention Center back in 2024, the day before our convention in 2024. And, you know, of course, they had a Free Palestine protest outside. And I just walked up to them and I said, you people don't care about Palestinians. You're full of it. And I'm as critical of Israel as any Republican U.S. Senate candidate in the country. Literally. I don't think there's another. In fact, you know, I don't brag much, but it's just a matter of fact. Just as a matter of fact, just make sure we have the record straight. I'm the first United States Senate nominee born in the 1990s, first of my generation. I'm the only United States Senate candidate to openly go against AIPAC and still win my primary. Everybody make sure that you clip that and pass it around. Okay, let's make sure we keep the record clear. Because I get this sense that the mainstream media is so deathly afraid of me. And I mean, even some of these alternative commentators, they don't want to have me on the podcast. It's, you know, there's just something eerie going on. So when I really take a look at it, I go, what the hell is going on here? Honestly. But we'll save that for another day. We'll go nuclear another night. Point being, I'm the only United States Senate candidate in the entire country, probably, to openly and publicly criticize AIPAC and still win my primary. Now, we'll see if I can do this. We'll see if I can defeat the odds again here on August 11th in Minnesota. And if you're in Minnesota, please spread the word. We're in for a dogfight here in the primary, myself and the great Mike Lindell. We'll see what happens. Our elections aren't secure. That's an entirely different situation. We'll see what happens. Again, you can be pro-choice as long as you're pro-Israel. We have a crisis in our own party now that supersedes the rigging of the elections. We have to get our own message straight before we can ever really hold the Democrats or America, you know, our government to account for keeping our election secure. Because if you don't have your own narrative together, it's too easy to pick you off. And that's what we, you know, that's what we got to deal with. In 35 days, 40 days, do we get it done for Minnesota? I'm not too confident. But hey, I never preclude miracles. I love a good fight. I love a bad one. Back to the story. I walk up to these Free Palestine protesters and I say, you people don't care about Palestine. Stop it. You don't care about Palestinian. Cut the nonsense. Oh, Royce, F you. Ah, oh, yada. Oh, bootlicker, Uncle Tom. Oh, you're carrying water for the white supremacists. They don't love you. They don't like you. Oh, they want to, you know, turn you back into a slave. Oh, shut up. Shut your mouth. Oh, you think you're, oh yeah, you think you're tough? Oh, you think you're tough? Yeah, no, I actually am tough, really tough, in real life. Please, come on down from the median there. Come on down from the median, and let's see how tough you all are. I walked right up to the crowd. There's probably about 35 of them, 40 of them, something like that. And I'm like, which one of you want to go first? Come on down. Which one of y'all want to go first? Didn't move an inch. They didn't move an inch. They're not that tough. They're tough because we have a turn the other cheek, post-Enlightenment, watered down 501c3 Christian Zionist mentality. And our Christian Zionist mentality is we'll let the stupid gay communists rape us in America, but we'll go die for the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. I'm just being real with you. I'm just being real with you guys. That's what it is. Communists have taken your country. Stupid, gay, communists have taken your country. They're in control of the courts in the deep state. And we're still worried about Israel. Let's say it another time for those who aren't quite getting it. Stupid, gay, communists are in control of the deep state and the courts, and we're still focused on Israel. That is the correct criticism of our wrongly ordered foreign policy. That is the rightful criticism of NATO, is we don't want to have a global dollar empire where we're defending everybody else's borders all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, which justifies our Congress raising the debt ceiling so we can pass defense spending so we can continue to play empire. That's the rightful criticism of our relationship and foreign policy with Europe or any of these other nations. That's the rightful criticism. See, but Isaiah Martin can't make that play. Why? Because they don't really despise military-industrial complex or a global dollar empire. They just want to be in control of it. There's a big difference between fundamentally disagreeing with being a global dollar empire and military-industrial complex. You know the evidence? All the Democrat candidates who are funded by the defense contractors never seem to miss any Democrat votes. I ran against one in 2024 when all the other Minnesota Republicans were afraid. Said, oh, Amy Klobuchar's too strong. Imagine a bunch of conservative Christian men saying that Amy Klobuchar is too strong of a candidate to run against. And we don't want to run against her. She's too strong. You know what? You go caucus with the communists, you stupid cuckservative. Even that mentality, you know, and I heard it. I heard it just to and fro. It's like, no, I'm not running. No, I'm not going to run against Amy Klobuchar. No, who would run against Amy Klobuchar? She's too strong of a candidate. Embarrassing. I ran against her. I couldn't wait. Of course I'll run against her. I can't wait to run against a military-industrial complex shill. If for no other reason than to pose the referendum to the people who say free Palestine. to all the Democrats and leftists, progressives, socialists, Marxists, who say free Palestine, and then they cast a vote for Amy Klobuchar. She's got more AIPAC money coming out of her gills than any other candidate in the entire country. Millions of dollars they've dumped into her. And see, when the cognitive dissonance reaches that level, you just gotta opt out. You gotta just opt out. You can't stay at the tables. You know, you gotta get your chips, stand the hell up, and walk away from the table. Christ, he did it different. He just turned the table over. He said, nah. Nah, we're not gonna play this game anymore. We're done. The rules are suspended. We're not playing this game. Whoop. There goes the tables. It's like, Jesus. Jesus is upset today. Yes, you bet your rear end we're upset. You bet your rear end we're upset. See, and they'll never answer the question. They can't, because they can't answer the question. They can't square the circle. Ask them. Just go ask them. Do you believe we should be a global dollar empire and military-industrial complex? No. We need to stop fighting wars for Israel. Okay, how about NATO? We got to stay in NATO. Stupid gay communist, shut your mouth. But, you know, we want to go back and forth with them. We're in some weird, you know, we're in some strange homoerotic, fight. I don't know. It's like when they went to Nancy Pelosi's house in the middle of the night and there was the weird homeless dude in his underwear. And, he was, what was he holding, a mallet or something? I forgot what it was. I think he was holding a mallet. I forgot what it was. But, Nancy's husband had like a knot on his head. And I think he was like in his underwear too, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. But, you know, it's a microcosm is what I'm saying. It's a microcosm. We are, you know, politically, culturally, we are in the same sort of weird back and forth with these stupid gay communists. And I'm just here to try and provide you the encouragement, the motivation to stand up from the table and say, enough is enough. We're done. We're done. We're not going to argue. We're not going to go back and forth. We're not going to debate. We're not going to let you, we're not going to let you disgrace our nation and our founding fathers by using their affinity for open dialogue and debate to unmoor our society from reality. It's not going to let you do it. Sacred honor. Our duty demands. Duty demands, our sacred honor, our civic duty demands that we do not let these people disgrace our founding fathers' affinity for open dialogue and debate by unmooring us from reality. Put that in your pseudo-intellectual pipe and smoke it, Isaiah Martin. You're watching The Alex Jones Show here on The Alex Jones Network, Sunday Night Live, Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm Royce White. We'll be right back in a moment.
Have the very best, strongest methylene blue from a medical grade company that produces it for medical firms. Instead of using radioactive iodine, you know, to track stuff before surgeries, they're more and more using methylene blue. So I told Bigley, I said, get me whatever the highest rated is. So they spent like 6 months. I said, where is it? And they said, oh, this is a medical firm in Florida. They don't even sell this for human consumption, though it's great for that. And I'm like, okay, great. So some bottles of it came in, sat there about a week. Because I'd taken methylene blue before, barely felt any energy, knew it was really good for your mitochondria. And, you know, so it's time to sell it. We're going to do it. Kennedy's promoting it. This was a year and a half ago, almost years ago. They're like, hey, boss, it's coming out tomorrow. You got to cut the ads. And I went, well, I haven't tried it yet. This better be good. And so the show ends, and I had a glass of iced tea, just like I do today. Okay? and I take one dropper and put it in the iced tea. And so I only drink half the iced tea. So I took half a dropper, and all of a sudden I'm like feeling warm and like electricity in my hands. I'd forgotten I'd taken it because I'm busy doing stuff after the show. And I go into the bathroom and I take my shirt off, and I turned red. Not with like hives, like I was. It was distributed. I'm already pretty tan. You know, tan good is a little bit Native American. The benefits of that, but I was like even redder. And I was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "Electricity." I go, "Oh, that's what people say methylene blue does if it's really good." And I was like, and I started feeling so good. I was like, "This is kind of scary." And about an hour into it, I go, "I hope this stops because it was getting too good." That happened to Derek. He took it and said, "I'm scared to take it. I thought he was on acid." So it's psychoactive everything, okay? I mean, this is not a freaking game, okay? It skips the oxygenation process, two steps in the cells, and all this other wild stuff. And so my medical doctor 6-7 years ago, he went to wellness clinics all over the state. He's got like 5, 6, 7, 8 degrees. It's ridiculous. He said, "Ed, by the way, I want you to get methylene blue. It'll be USP grade. Just get it wherever. Just make sure it's USP grade, meaning it's, you know, medical grade." And I ordered it and tried it and really didn't feel any energy. When, you know, but I'm sure it was good for me, but I'd forget to take it. So I was like, "Okay, everybody wants methylene blue. I know it's good. We'll get it. We'll sell it. Get the best." I take this, and it is nothing like any methylene blue I ever took. I mean, it is strong. It's amazing. But just like Group told me with the pure atomic iodine that it would do great stuff with my skin, those liver spots I had, you can go back to shows 14, 15 years ago before Group came along, and you can see those spots I had. They're gone, baby. Gone, literally gone. It's amazing. But within 2 weeks of taking the methylene blue, the guy I trained with was like, "Hey, are you on something? Did you get a steroid prescription or something?" I was like, "No." And he goes, "Well, what's going on? I mean, you're losing weight even quicker, and now you used to have trouble doing 10 pull-ups, and you just did 20, and man, you're like pushing like on the leg press twice what you were a month ago. What the hell's going on, dude? You're like glowing." And Sean Johnson told the story, and I said, "It's methylene blue." He's a former Navy SEAL trainer, all that. He took it, gave his testimony about how within 30 minutes he was all zinned out and it was crazy and everything. This stuff really works. Now, when you first take it, you get the crazy effects psychologically. You always feel the energy some, but as it builds up, it's not even a tolerance. It's when your body hasn't had this, it really notices it at first. But the first time you take it, I say take a quarter dropper. Talk to your physician, too, because if you're on SSRIs or some other drugs, it'll make you jump off a building. I mean, people have taken methylene blue when they're on Prozac and they jump off buildings. Okay, that's rare. Usually women just pull their clothes off and start having orgies and stuff. I mean, I'm serious, okay? I mean, like, you want to go cuckoo town, take this with SSRIs and you're going to cuckoo town, because that's how strong this is, okay? That's what this does, and we know it's good for you. But this is not a joke, okay? I don't sell crap.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. Sunday Night Live, Father's Day. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's great to be back with you this Sunday evening. I know I'm saying some crazy, crazy stuff this week. I know. I'm crazy. I got it. Please, the Rachel Maddows in the world, have a field day. And if my Senate opponents are watching, clip it. Please, clip it, play it, till the cows come home, come hell or high water. Eventually, a group of patriots is going to have to keep this country by force. That's just what it is. So this, the same way, you know, it's interesting, the corollary between what they call in the financial world moral hazard. And I use moral hazard as a term that you can also apply to the social decay of a society. It's interesting. You think of modern monetary theory and this crazy concession that we can print as much money as we want into infinity, because, you know, as long as the American people or the working class of any society around the world is willing to continue to work and give their energy to the system, to the economy, then there is no such thing as debt. It's effectively what modern monetary theory is, right? As long as long as people are willing to work and pay, there is no limit on the debt. The debt is unlimited. And that's why we continue to raise the debt ceiling, because that economic philosophy prevails across the aisle in Washington, D.C. and above. Above, when we say above, we're talking about in the banks. There's this corollary between modern monetary theory and this idea I said earlier, that across a big enough time horizon, modern monetary theory is a debt trap for the entire working class. And look where we are. I mean, your children's children are already in debt. So it's not really a theory. It's the reality. Across a great enough time horizon, modern monetary theory is a debt trap for all working class citizens. I think that's a categorical fact. Ding. High IQ. High IQ. Really, really high. Across a great enough time horizon, modern monetary theory is a debt trap for the entire working class. Hence, modern monetary theory at work, our great-great-grandchildren are already in debt before they're even born. There it is. But the same thing can be said for democracy. Across a great enough time horizon, democracy is a decadent political mechanism for a nation. And you all aren't ready to say it yet. You all just aren't ready to say it yet. In order to have a democracy that doesn't devolve and decay, you have to spend a substantial amount of time and energy and place a real premium on the purity, dignity, and philosophical grounding of your ideas. You want to be a nation of ideas, you better spend a lot of time ensuring that those ideas stay moored to reality. And right now we have unmoored ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We are unmoored from reality. It's like we're celebrating a month of mental illness. The entire month is a month of mental illness. It's like they're having parades about mental illness. And I guess I had this intuition when I was fighting the NBA about mental health policy, that the human condition and the human psychology and this crisis of the two, or this crisis at the convergence of the two, was going to be a problem in the future. I had no idea that I was going to watch a nation throw parades about men and women swapping identities for some type of weird cultural virtue signal while the nation implodes. I had no idea. I had no idea just how much of a premonition that really was. Yet here we are, and they'll call me crazy. It's like, go screw yourself, okay? Go screw yourself. Oh, you're a bigot. Oh, you're a fascist. Oh, you're a Christian wingnut. Oh, Christian nationalism, ultra MAGA. They're so flippant and brazen about it too. They're like, ultra MAGA. You can see it in some of the comments. Ultra MAGA, that's immediately discrediting. Ultra MAGA. You're a communist, a stupid gay communist. And the only problem we're having in this country really is that I got to look to the next person who should be ultra MAGA or a Christo nationalist. And I got to wonder if they're really worth their, if they're really worth their salt, if they're really, you know, if they're really hardcore. That's the only problem in this country. I look to my left, I look to my right, and I see other people who say they're patriots and Republicans, but aren't really ready to save the Republic. Dear President Trump, I implore you on this Father's Day, let the record reflect, let it go down in history that on Sunday, June 21st, 2026, year of our Lord, 2026, this crazy low IQ Negro from Rondo, St. Paul, implored the President of the United States to keep the government by force from these stupid gay communists. Let the record reflect. I'll be the John Revere, okay? The commies are coming. The commies are coming. The commies are coming. They're already here. They're in the wire. They're in the wire. How long are you going to argue with them? How long are you going to argue with these courts, these traitors in the courts? How long are you going to beg John? I'm sick and tired of watching my commander-in-chief beg John Thune and the Senate to do what they should do. I'm sick and tired of it. It's not an insult. I'm not, you know, it's out of love. That's why I ran the clip this in the beginning of the great Bobby Hurley. You see how Bobby Hurley talked to that team? Boy, if we had 500 Bobby Hurleys in the Congress, this country would change like that. This country would change for the better in an instant. And I love his two sons. His one son has built an entirely new legacy for the historic UConn basketball program, which, by the way, I can speak to directly because I was one of the players to retire the last UConn dynasty under the great Jim Calhoun. And Jim Calhoun was an incredible basketball coach himself, and he built an incredible dynasty for the UConn basketball program. His last year, they lost an NCAA tournament in the round of 32. In the first round to Iowa State, the Iowa State Cyclones, which I led. Oh, by the way, these casual basketball fans who say things like, Royce White has a failed basketball career, I just want you to go to Google, ChatGPT, Grok, whatever you like to use, and type this prompt in. How rare is it for a Division I basketball player to lead his team in all major statistics, all major stat categories in a Power 5 conference? Go ahead. You put the prompt in, because I know that's what you people do for your facts. You go to Google, you know, you need Google to tell you. And the first thing that the New York Times pops up from the authoritative sources becomes your vault of knowledge. You just regurgitate whatever Google tells you. Try this one on for size. How rare is it? How rare of a feat is it for a single player to lead his team in all five major stat categories from a Power 5 conference? Now it's Power 4 because the Pac-12 is defunct, no longer exists. I think the Pac-12 is actually coming back, but, you know, we'll see. Bottom line is, if you put in that prompt, it'll tell you it's one of the rarest statistical feats you can possibly achieve. One of the rarest statistical feats that you can possibly achieve. The last person to do it was Cooper Flagg. He's the number one draft pick. Going to have an incredible NBA career when it's all said and done. God willing, he stays healthy. The point I'm making is there is an exceptionalism, an elitism, an unequal distribution of talent, grit, hard work, discipline that we revere in our athletes and the Bobby Hurleys of the world who were winners. I've never actually played on a losing team in my entire basketball career. Never played on a losing team. Never. And I think the first time I played on a losing team was like in one of the recent Big Three seasons. But I mean, it's, you know, 8-game season. And the whole thing is, I love the Big Three, but it's an entirely different format. It's a different deal. But on a team where there was an extended season, like high school, college, the pros, never played on a losing team. There's something we revere about the winners. And that's what we're really fighting. If you want to pinpoint, I say, you know, for a time such as this, if you want to pinpoint a couple cultural nodes that have sunk American society, we don't place a premium on winning. And it's not the winning and losing like the results. It's more of the process. I always tell people, like my young players, you could work as hard as you could work hard. You could get up every morning, be disciplined, do everything you're supposed to do, and still not achieve the goal you set out to achieve. That's possible. That's not the point. The point is to put your mind to something, fall in love with the process of hard work, and understand the value that working hard at something every day brings to your life. And everything that you learn in the process, like how important it is to have a great coach and great leaders And the difference between a man who loves you and has passion and is trying to instill discipline and accountability in you and somebody who we call abusive or toxically masculine. There's a big difference, and we are rapidly losing that distinction. If you watch that clip of Bobby Hurley laying into his high school team the day before a state championship, which, by the way, they went on to win by 20, 30 points and become state champions with a perfect 32-0 record, which is incredible in and of itself, especially in a place like I think they're in New Jersey, where, you know, with all due respect to every other part of the country, the tri-state area has incredible basketball because New York City is the Mecca, right? If you have a problem with the way Bobby Hurley talked to those young men, you're probably a stupid gay communist. And you'll go to the game and you'll get drunk and you'll have your pom-poms or your stupid merchandise t-shirt and you'll have an opinion about which player is dating which supermodel and all of the tea and the gossip. And for some reason, we count you as a part of the fundamental and essentials of the game. See, but that's the problem with commercialization, is it brings everybody into a game where the product and result of the game is exclusive to the discipline and hard work, expertise, skill, and mastery of a few. And okay, fine. You know, if there wasn't the commercial aspect, there wouldn't be as big of a game. I understand that, but we have to be able to make hardcore decisions about how much we let the stupid gay communists dictate the culture of the game. Like, for example, the NBA, who's gone so woke, all of the players need to come in women's clothes and put weird female accessories and finger paint on their nails and shake their butt like they're, you know, working part-time at the strip club. For the love of, is this America? Is this America? Is this what it means for us to be diverse, tolerant, inclusive? Because if that's what those things means, I mean, I want no part of it. If that's what those things mean, we need to run in the other direction. If I see another young NBA player come to the arena and get his picture taken, like it's like a pre-scheduled fashion shoot. Like, you know, they used to say all the basketball players want to be rappers. Now it's like all the basketball players want to be models. Gay. And it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a model. I get it. You know, I understand. There's nothing wrong with being a model, but there is something wrong with the rapid deterioration of masculinity in our culture. And you know, by God, I just really believe that this tacit sort of need for external validation, groupthink, these echo chambers, this heresy of democracy, if we get 100 people together who agree or passive aggressively concede that something is right when they know it's wrong, all of a sudden it's right. No, it's still wrong. It's still wrong. Like, giving a little kid hormone blockers is wrong. I don't care how many doctors say it's okay. It's still wrong. I don't care how many Ilhan Omars or AOCs or Bernie Sanders or Barack Obamas or Michelle say it's okay. It's not okay. It's just not okay. It's just not okay, guys. And at some point, once you figure out that these people will not concede that it's not okay, what is the answer? And that's where we are now, Mr. President. What is the answer? The answer has to be stop arguing with them. You've done enough, sir. You've done enough, Mr. President. You've given 10 years of your life in the twilight of your life to try and convince these people of common sense. You've done enough, sir. Now it's time to do a little more, but a little less hard work. Let's work smarter, not harder. National security threat. You can't give your country to people who are unmoored from reality, because then effectively your nation is unmoored from reality. And I saw just recently, put a post up and he says, I personally inspected the pool there. It's been vandalized. And he says in there, you know, wow, who would do something? Stupid gay communists, Mr. President. That's who would do something like that. Stupid gay communists who say the algae is out of control because President Trump didn't listen to the scientists. Back in 2012, they had a bunch of news reports said the same exact thing when Barack Obama renovated the pool. Same exact thing. The algae is the algae. I mean, come on. The fact that we're, you know what? It's just, we're arguing with people about algae in a pool. They're giving little kids hormone blockers. These doctors should be thrown in prison. Where are the lawsuits? Where are the lawsuits for all the people who had transition surgery that now deeply regret it? And you know, class action lawsuits. There's the Dr. Fauci thing. There should be class action law. The United States government versus Big Pharma. That's when I'll know we're really chopping some wood. United States government versus, what is it, Viacom, or what are these other big mainstream media parent companies? United States government versus the fake news media. RICO, indictment, medical misinformation. Because you think some of them didn't know? You think if Dr. Fauci knew that there was gain-of-function research that contributed to the COVID-19 pandemic, you think some of these mainstream media news outlets didn't know? You think they didn't have their sources? No, they did. And we need to get to the bottom of it. Just who knew? When? Who knew and when did you know? Preserve your documents. There should be a memo that goes out from the United States government to all of the mainstream media, all the fake news media outlets. Preserve your documents. We want to know who knew and when did you know? But I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy. I got it. I'm the low IQ Negro from Rondo, St. Paul. I got it. I'm crazy. I'm extreme. Royce is extreme. You know, he pals around with that Alex Jones. Those dudes are a little out there. How far out there are we? How far out there are? Can we get a number? On a scale of 1 to 10, how far out there am I? The mainstream media should be able to medically misinform the entire American public with no consequences or repercussions whatsoever. Dr. Fauci should be able to saunter on out to the podium and bloviate, you know, his pretentious smug scientism to the American people, only to find out that he lied to Congress at one of the most pivotal moments in our nation's history, and there's no consequences? Where are the raids? Where's the FBI raid? Like they raided Mar-a-Lago. Where's the raid? Where's the perp walk? On a scale of 1 to 10, how far out there exactly are me and Alex Jones? How far? 1 to 10. No, I think the stupid gay communists are out there at 100. On a scale of 1 to 10, they're 100. But again, you know, hey, let's talk about something else. You know, how about them Yankees, right? How about them Yankees? Can never give the government back to these people. And the sooner we come to grips with that, the sooner we can start fixing this great nation. The sooner we come to grips with the reality that they are unmoored from reality, we can start turning this country around. But it's going to take some reality testing of our own. Like, you know what? For Christ's sake, how many times are we going to let Israel and Bibi Netanyahu, you know, knife us in the side? How many times are we going to go this around and around and around? It's just like, let's just cut them loose. Let them do what they're going to do. I love what Steve Bannon said. They've been fighting for 1,000 years. They're going to be fighting for 1,000 years hence. Cut them loose. Let them do what they're going to do. They want to fight. They want to take grain. We don't have to be responsible. We do not have to uphold the peace for the entire world. The real criticism of NATO and in our entire formation of foreign policy is that, and again, it's hilariously ironic that the liberals decry neocolonialism, the greatest relic of neocolonialism is our formation of foreign policy that says we have to be responsible for peace all around the world, and therefore we need $1 trillion a year for our defense budget. That, oh, by the way, does subsidize Europe's defense, because when they have to go to war with Russia, they don't have the aircraft carriers or the equipment that they need in order to beat back Russia. Because if they did, we wouldn't have to come to their aid. If NATO and the rest of the European countries were putting in the amount of money that they should, or the amount of money required to fight the enemies that they want to fight, when Russia crosses over into Ukraine, they wouldn't need us to come to their aid. They wouldn't need us to send resources. They'd have them. They don't have them. Israel doesn't have them. They say they do. And what I'm saying is, let's get a head count. Same way we got to get a head count in this country, 20-year moratorium on all immigration, mass deportations. We got to get a head count in this country. Same way we got to get a head count of our international alliances. You people say that you put enough money in to the NATO alliance to defend your own countries and your territorial integrity. Let's see. Let's see. It's called pulling the chair in basketball terms. I'm going to go ahead and pull the chair. And let's see if you're in balance. You and I, we all know the answer. The answer is no. They're not in balance. See that right there? That's a man who's in balance. That's a great shot from my Iowa State days as a Cyclone on the fast break. Catch the ball in rhythm, in step. Explode off of 2 feet. You always want to play off of 2 feet as much as you can, because it keeps you in balance. That's why I didn't get injured much, because I played in balance. These folks are not in balance. And because they're not in balance, our relationship with them is not in balance. And we are not in balance here at home. We are not in balance. But to bring this great republic back to balance, I say let Israel and the European Union, they should get together. They should merge plot. European Union and Israel, you guys figure out if it's going to be Greater Israel or the British Empire. Doesn't much matter to us. We're focused on America. That was the America First Initiative. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? God bless you all. Godspeed. God bless America. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We're extremely grateful, and we are eternally grateful to our Father in heaven. Have a great evening, and we'll see you next time.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me.
I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?